Fantastic, good people. God bless you, and welcome to tonight's New Breed Conference Call with me, your host, Bishop Wayne Malcolm. Delighted, as always, that you could join us from wherever you are joining us, and excited about tonight's lesson. Tonight is a continuation of a series that we started a few weeks ago, and it's very exciting, it's loaded, it's packed, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you tonight. Let me start by saying that the New Breed Calls are an outreach of the ICANN Global Network, which is our online community, which you are cordially invited to join. It's totally free. It's at ICANNGlobalNetwork.com, and you get to connect and share and grow with fellow believers. This call is also an outreach of our new academy, the ICANN Global Academy, which is for those serious players that want to commit to a long-term program of training and development. And you can find out more about that at ICANNGlobalAcademy.com. That's ICANNGlobalAcademy.com. All right, tonight we're going to continue our purpose series. The overall series title is Fit for Purpose. And we are exploring the whole idea of purpose in the scriptures and asking specifically, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And what am I here to do? And how can I know what my purpose is? And how can I pursue that purpose? And so we're quite a few lessons in, but we're going to take it to another level tonight. Tonight I will be reading from one of my favorite psalms, and it's Psalm 8. The eighth psalm, and it reads as follows: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, here's the question: what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Absolutely fantastic psalm, completely loaded. And tonight I've read this psalm because I want to answer the question. I want to answer a very specific question, and the question is, what is God's purpose for my presence on planet Earth right now? What is God's purpose for my presence on planet Earth right now? One more time, what is God's purpose for my presence on planet Earth right now? And of course, the question suggests that you are here deliberately, intentionally, and that your presence has purpose and has meaning, that God didn't make a mistake when he released you into this realm, that you are here on assignment, that you have a mission, and that God planned this and is executing on his masterful and intelligent plan. And that's a great way to think about yourself, understanding that you're not an accident, you're not a coincidence, you're not a wandering generality, but rather you are a meaningful specific, deliberately, intentionally released into this realm on assignment as part of a divine purpose and plan. And what we want to find out is, what is the purpose for our presence on planet Earth right now? And I believe that this verse gives a very powerful clue. So I want us to notice, this passage gives a very powerful clue. I want us to notice, you know, the contrast in this psalm, where David is considering the might and the majesty of the universe. He's considering the stars, the moon. He's considering the heavens and how these are the work of God's hand. And then in comparison, in contrast, he says, well, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you visit him? What is man compared to all of these mighty wonders of creation? And he goes on to say that you have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. And then verse 6 is our power verse. It says, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. So for those that are just joining us, we're in Psalm 8. We're looking at verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. One more time. Thou madest him, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. And so what we see in this psalm is that God made man for a purpose, and the purpose was to have dominion over the works of his hands. And because of this purpose, he has put everything under his feet, that is, under his authority. And so, effectively, God made mankind to be the king of this realm and to lord over this realm. And that is why he put everything under our feet. And we see this very clearly in Genesis chapter 1, where God, made man in his image after his likeness and immediately begin to declare his purpose for man. You know, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion. Let them have dominion. So this idea of dominion is intricately woven into the fabric of humanity. Hallelujah. This idea of dominion is inseparably part of the human experience. And this is why we see man, you know, possessing an insatiable appetite to conquer, either to conquer intellectually and understand something scientifically, or to, go beyond the frontiers of nature and explore the sky, explore the sea, explore the rocks. You know, I mean, there is an insatiable appetite within mankind for dominion and for conquest and for rule and to be in charge or to be in control. And this is an inseparable part of the fabric of our being because God, according to this psalm, made us to have that dominion. He made us to have that dominion. He wanted to put the care and supervision of creation into the hands of people that have his image and his likeness. And so his plan was very simple that, you know, those that look like me should run, rule, manage, take care of this realm. And we see this in Genesis chapter number 1. So what I want to do is I want to unpack dominion tonight because dominion is a word that is flying around Christendom quite liberally. And our understanding of dominion is typically limited to rule and control, and we link dominion with kingship and with authority, and we look at, you know, the authority of the believer, and so that's how the word is being used. God is restoring to us in Christ that dominion that Adam lost, and that is, of course, true, and it's beautiful. But I want to unpack dominion. I want to give you a definition for dominion. And you may need to take a note of this, but my definition for dominion is to discover, to design, to develop, and to dominate your domain. So there are five D's there. I'm going to go through them again. My definition for dominion is that you discover, design, develop, and dominate your domain. One more time, discover, design, develop, and dominate your domain. So, of course, my definition is loaded because, number one, it suggests that you have a domain. that there is a realm over which you should rule. There is a place, you know, in which you should establish a palace, that you have in fact been made a king and a priest as part of the new covenant, and there is no such thing as a king without a kingdom. And so Christ, who is the King of Kings, you know, he wants to rule in your heart, but then he wants you to rule over a realm, so that by default he is ruling that realm, but he is ruling that realm through you because he's given you rule over that realm. So long as he has your heart, he has your realm. So long as he has your soul, he has your circumstance. And so dominion, you know, my definition suggests that you have a domain over which God wants you to exercise dominion. So let's look at the definition in more detail. So it first means to discover your domain. It first means to discover your domain. So a lot of people are not able to walk in dominion because they haven't discovered their domain. And what they're trying to do is perhaps have dominion over everything, you know, everything they can see, everything that's going on around them. And they begin operating like a fish out of water. What I mean by a fish out of water, I mean that the element of the fish is the water. And so when the fish is in the water, the fish is regal, majestic, powerful, masterful, wins our admiration because of its power in its element. But take the fish out of its element, out of its domain, and it becomes quite pathetic, quite helpless, and doesn't generate our admiration as much as perhaps our sympathy and maybe our hunger, our appetite. So the point is that the fish is glorious in its element, and likewise you are glorious in your element. You have a specific domain, and discovering your domain is going to begin to transform you into a glorious, majestic creature that fully reflects the image and the likeness of God, but not until you find your domain and until you are operating in your element. And so let me give some Bible for this, because what I want to show you is that in Genesis chapter number 2, this is very powerful. These are verses that have had a profound impact upon my life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Now, I want us to look at this because everything else in the creation narrative, God created it by speaking it into existence. You know, he spoke the worlds into existence, and he spoke light into darkness, and he spoke order into chaos, and he spoke beauty, and he spoke these things. And even when it comes to making man, he formed the frame of the man from the dust of the ground, but he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So then the breath of God is the source and the fountain of creation, the word of God. But when it comes to the Garden of Eden, he did not say, "Let there be a garden." Instead, the Bible says he planted a garden, which means that the garden would begin to emerge around Adam. I want you to see this. It's very powerful. The garden would begin to emerge around Adam. And when God planted Adam, when God put Adam in the garden, well, there's no evidence that it looks like a garden when God put him there. In fact, it probably looked like a mud field, because this garden was planted, which means that it grew, which means that it emerged around Adam, which means that it was not there originally. Because when you're planting, you know, what it looks like is a field of mud and tilled soil. But the seed is doing its work beneath the surface, because in order to grow up, you must first grow down. And so the Garden of Eden is something that emerged around Adam, as opposed to something that was fully formed and Adam walked into it. So it's important for us to realize that your domain is not going to be fully formed and then you're going to walk into it. Your garden, your domain, your realm is not going to be fully formed and you walk into it, but instead it's going to emerge around you. It's going to emerge around you in much the same way as the Garden of Eden emerged around Adam and Eve. Verse 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So what we're seeing here is that these things begin to grow out of the ground. And it's very important that we realize that our domain is growing. It is emerging. It is not formed. It's not a finished work. It's not a finished product that you step into, but rather it is a work in progress that is emerging and forming around you, which is why dominion starts with discovering your domain. Because in order to discover your domain, sometimes you have to look at your circumstances with spiritual eyes. Because when you look at it with physical eyes, it just looks like a field of mud, a field of tilled soil. It doesn't look like anything's happening there, but it is your domain. Because God has planted in it all the seeds of your success, the seeds of your significance, the seeds of your legacy, the seeds of your purpose and destiny. It's all around you, but you have to now recognize it and discover it and say, actually, this is my domain. This is my Garden of Eden. And then what we find is it now begins to form. It begins to grow, which brings us to the second B. The second B is to design your domain. And so this means that you've got to get in touch with your core. You've got to connect with your core and begin to figure out what you like, what you don't like, what you love, what you don't love, what you want, what you don't want. Because, again, a lot of people cannot walk in dominion because they don't actually have any preferences or tastes. And see, you can't be a king without preferences and tastes. You're going to find that this is a common denominator among kings, is that they then, get to impose their preferences and their tastes upon the realm, upon the domain. And so now it comes to designing, because we know that Adam had a job, and Adam's job was to keep the garden. His job was to keep the garden. And so those of you that have ever tried to keep a garden, understand that there is a lot of decoration involved. There's some pruning involved. There is some landscaping involved. Verse 15 of Genesis 2 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So to dress it now has to do with the design and the development stage, which means that this glorious realm that is emerging around you, that God has planted beneath you, and that is emerging around you, is going to require you to dress it and keep it. It's going to require you to design it. It's going to require you to design it, to organize it, to manage it. And it's going to require you to sustain it and to keep it. And so dominion has to do with first discovering your domain, and secondly, designing your domain, and thirdly, developing your domain, and then finally, to dominate your domain, which is to rule it. Now, I suppose the question is, what does my domain even mean? I mean, what is a domain? What constitutes a domain? Is it a spiritual realm that I'm supposed to discover and design and develop? It really depends on your calling. Your calling, which is alluded to in your very passion. And so we live in a very beautiful hour, a very beautiful hour in which we have a cyber world running, concurrent with a physical world. So we have a cyber reality. And in cyberspace, if you want to make a mark, if you want to have a presence, if you want to promote a purpose, then the first thing you do is you purchase a domain. Now, this domain, so we understand domains in this hour in a way that perhaps it was never understood before, because domains years ago were physical geopolitical regions. But right now, we understand that you can purchase a space in cyberspace that is your domain. If you want to leave it parked, then it's parked. If you want to put up a one-page website on it, then that's what you have. If you want to put a multi-page dynamic website on it that you know retails products and services and e-commerce, sophisticated modern website, you can, because it's your domain. And likewise, if you want to build a social network on the site, you can, because it's your domain. It belongs to you and you own it. And so we need to think of domains in a lot more of a dynamic sense. So let me go through a few of them right now and start by talking about your career. Your career, you know, I've written a great book entitled The Career Calling, Closing the Gap Between Your Profession and Your Purpose in Life, because I believe that gap has to be closed. Otherwise, God is going to be restricted to Sunday mornings in most cities. Unless we can mobilize the pews and mobilize the ordinary Christian and bring them into the ministry through their careers, then we're going to see the power of God limited to a Sunday morning expression. But when believers come into the ministry of their career, then we're going to see an expression of God and his grace throughout Monday, Tuesday, right the way through the week, because God will go with us to work, whether you're working in politics, whether you're working in business, whether you are working in the media, in the arts, whether you are in retail, manufacturing, whether you are in financial services, whether you're in the public sector, in the schools, in housing, in education. God goes into all of it when you go into it as a minister in the marketplace. When you go in as a minister of hope, an ambassador of hope, then the grace that is with me on a Sunday when I'm preaching is with you on a Monday when you are in that hospital, when you are in that school, when you are in that garage, when you are in that store. I believe this very passionately. But see, for some of you, what you're doing right now is not a job. It is a career. And for some of you, it's more than that. It's a vocation. And when it becomes a vocation, what you're looking at is your domain. And what God wants you to do is discover it. He wants you to design it. He wants you to develop it. And he wants you to dominate it. He wants you to be the head of it and not the tail. He wants you to have influence, and he wants you to be significant. And he wants your word to have authority, just like the word of a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And God wants you to have power in your professional space. Power. Influence in your professional sphere. And that is a domain. What about ministry and the traditional concept of ministry in terms of your service to God in a church context, your reasonable service to God in a church context? Well, you know, God made you to have dominion over the works of his hands, and he wants you to discover this garden that is growing around you. He wants you to design it. He wants you to develop it. And he wants you to dominate it, which means to be the best that you can be, to operate with excellence, with authority, and to make a mark on that domain that can never be erased. So your ministry is very much a part of your domain. So let's keep on going. Your household, your home, your family, that is your domain. It is your space. And God has planted a garden in your house, and it's emerging around you with every conceivable, bountiful blessing that you could imagine. It is emerging around you. And what he wants you to do is to discover this and say, actually, this is my Garden of Eden. This house is my Garden of Eden. Because a lot of people are looking for a Garden of Eden, I don't know, somewhere in Turkey or Iraq or in North Africa or East Africa. People looking for a physical Garden of Eden. But we know that an angel with a flaming sword has completely blocked that way. That's gone. What we do know is that Christ came to restore the paradise that we lost. And he came to restore the relationship that we lost. And he came to restore the righteousness that we lost. And he came to restore the authority and the dominion that we lost. So guess what? Your house is the Garden of Eden. And it is your job to understand. It may not look like the Garden of Eden right now. You may be looking around your house right now and say, this really doesn't look like the Garden of Eden today. But guess what? The garden was planted and the trees grew, which meant by process of time, that garden emerged. And Adam's job was to dress it and to keep it. Your job is to recognize that paradise is actually in your house and that it is emerging around you. It's emerging around you, and your job is to recognize it, to dress it, and to keep it. To recognize it, to dress it, means to make it beautiful. To keep it means to keep it beautiful. And so make your house beautiful and keep it beautiful. Make your home beautiful and keep it beautiful. Make your relationship beautiful and keep it beautiful. Make your conversation beautiful and keep it beautiful. Because there, in a spiritual and profound sense, is your Garden of Eden. So we got your house, we got your career, we got your ministry service to God within a church context. But we also have your own body. Your body is your domain. And again, it is your job to discover the goodness that is in it, design it, develop it, and dominate it. Never to have your appetites dominating you, but rather to be in complete control of your own body and your own self. Isn't this amazing? So we got dominion over ourselves. We got dominion in our households. We got dominion in our careers. We got dominion in the spiritual world. And, you know, I just want to close with that extension that in the, Christ has made us kings and priests. This gives us authority in the earth and authority in the heavens. And your authority in the heavens is very important because your gift set, your spiritual gifting is your domain. And your authority, your spiritual authority is your domain. He says, I made you to discover, design, develop, and dominate that realm, to rule in that realm. So God is raising up kings. He's raising up Christ ambassadors. He's raising up leaders. He's raising up a new breed. Of that, I am very convinced. And he wants us to understand that our purpose right here on planet Earth is to have dominion over the works of his hands. So rise up in your authority. Rise up in your majesty. Rise up in your place. Rise up in your anointing and begin to design the world as you see it in the spirit. Begin to design your body, design your house, design your career, design your ministry, design your city. Design it. Develop it. Develop what you have designed. Take it off of the paper and begin to construct it. And dominate it, because in fact you were made to have dominion over the work of God's hands. I've really enjoyed being with you tonight. I really wish that some of you would just listen to God telling you to join one of our mentoring programs, coaching programs, training programs, get serious about your growth, your development as a leader, and I wish you would hit me up and say, Bishop, I'm serious. What do I do next? Hit me up and say, Bishop, I'm serious. What do I do next? God bless you, and have a beautiful evening, and good night.